history has a strange way of forgetting its heroines. While we readily celebrate male achievements, women's contributions are systematically erased from our collective memory. Kathy Newman's Bloody Brilliant Women resurrects these forgotten stories, women who shaped Britain through extraordinary courage and intellect, yet remain largely unknown. These weren't merely women who succeeded despite the odds. They were visionaries who fundamentally transformed British society while facing barriers we can scarcely imagine today. Their absence from our historical narrative isn't accidental, but reflects a persistent pattern of overlooking female achievement, a pattern this book brilliantly disrupts. In the early 19th century, married women had no legal identity separate from their husbands. They couldn't own property, sign contracts, or keep custody of their children. Caroline Norton's 1837 case became pivotal when, after fleeing her abusive husband, she was denied access to her sons. Her subsequent campaigning led to crucial reforms: the Custody of Infants Act, 1839, the Matrimonial Causes Act, 1857, and the Married Women's Property Act, 1870. Queen Victoria herself reflected the era's contradictions, privately describing marriage as making women bodily and morally the husband's slave, while publicly opposing women's suffrage. The movement gained momentum through Emmeline Pankhurst, who strategically maintained an elegant appearance to counter stereotypes of masculine suffragists. The campaign turned militant after Christabel Pankhurst's 1905 arrest, with harsh government responses, including force-feeding of prisoners, ultimately strengthening public support for the cause. World War I created unprecedented opportunities as women filled crucial roles men had vacated. When the assassination that triggered the conflict summoned men to their most ancient occupation, it simultaneously called women to every other. Women became acetylene welders, fitters, lens grinders, plumbers, carpenters, and bank clerks. The sight of women in trousers shocked many, though some celebrated the arrival of the trained handywoman. Female doctors made remarkable contributions despite initial resistance. After being rejected by the War Office, Louisa Garrett Anderson and Flora Murray formed the Women's Hospital Corps, establishing a hospital in Paris before running London's Endell Street Hospital, which served 26,000 patients. The Scottish Women's Hospitals, founded by suffragist Dr. Elsie Inglis after being told to go home and sit still, operated across Europe until her death in 1917. During World War II, women at Bletchley Park outnumbered men 8-1. While initially divided between aristocratic gels working as secretaries and older women managing offices, talented female codebreakers like Joan Clark and Mavis Beatty made crucial contributions. Alfred Dilly Knox assembled a team known as Dilly's Fillies, recognizing women's nimbleness of mind and capacity for lateral thought, along with care and attention to detail that many men might not have had. The interwar period brought opportunities alongside persistent discrimination. Lillian Wiles became one of Britain's first female police officers in 1918, though the Home Secretary agreed to trial policewomen only if no vinegary spinsters were hired. Nancy Astor, the first woman to take her seat in Parliament, handled hecklers with legendary wit. When asked why she wasn't home with her five children, she replied, "I feel someone ought to be looking after the more unfortunate children. My children are among the fortunate ones." By 1929, when Margaret Bondfield became the first female cabinet member, there were just 14 women in the Commons, despite women comprising 52.9% of the electorate. Within Westminster, women occupied separate spaces from men, missing important debates and gossip in male-only areas. However, they forged valuable cross-party friendships. Nancy Astor and Labour MP Ellen Wilkinson sparred in debates but remained close friends, often collaborating on women's issues. For working women, post-war Britain proved deeply disappointing. Many who gained employment during the war were made redundant or pressured to resign. When unions complained about women being sacked from Woolwich Arsenal, Lloyd George replied that, "Anybody who places before women the prospect of absolute equality is doing something which is inconsistent with the nature of things." the legal profession proved particularly resistant to women. Dr. Ivy Williams became the first woman called to the bar in 1922, though she went into teaching at Oxford. Helena Normanton became the first practicing female barrister that same year, later becoming the first woman to lead prosecution in a murder trial and the first to obtain a divorce for a client. The marriage bar remained a significant obstacle across professions. In 1921, St. Pancras Borough Council dismissed Dr. Gladys Miles Smith when she married, despite protests from multiple organizations. This practice was widespread in teaching, civil service, and banking, forcing women to choose between career and marriage. The scientific establishment's treatment of Rosalind Franklin epitomized institutional sexism. Her crucial X-ray crystallography work revealing DNA's structure was shown without her knowledge to Watson and Crick. Franklin died of ovarian cancer in 1958, 4 years before Crick, Watson, and Wilkins received the Nobel Prize for work that relied heavily on her insights. The 1960s sexual revolution emerged between the lifting of the ban on Lady Chatterley's Lover and the Beatles' first album. The contraceptive pill's arrival in 1961 marked a watershed moment, though initially restricted to married women. Despite the medical establishment's paternalistic attitudes, Sir Charles Dodds warned against interfering with women's bodies by comparing them to delicate clocks. Women eagerly embraced this new control over their fertility, with users increasing from 150,000 in 1962 to 480,000 by 1964. By 1970, feminism had transformed from quiet dissatisfaction to militant action. The Miss World protest became defining when demonstrators disrupted Bob Hope's performance with flower bombs and chants of, "We're not beautiful, we're not ugly, we're angry." Erin Pizzi's establishment of Britain's first women's refuge in 1971 addressed the hidden epidemic of domestic violence, while her book, Scream Quietly or the Neighbors Will Hear, broke the silence surrounding abuse through powerful firsthand accounts. Despite progress, significant barriers persist. Engineering, physics, and computer science remain male-dominated, while only 7% of FTSE 100 companies have female CEOs. Most alarmingly, domestic violence claims 2 women's lives weekly in England and Wales from current or former partners. The UN's He for She campaign, launched by Emma Watson, recognized that gender equality requires male participation. Watson highlighted how rigid gender roles harm everyone. If men don't have to be aggressive to be accepted, women won't feel compelled to be submissive. During uncertain times, society often intensifies its grip on traditional gender roles, a pattern visible in responses to the hashtag MeToo movement. Women's legacy has evolved from Maria Jewsbury's dismissive, "A woman's mind, what is it?" to celebrating achievements like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Malala Yousafzai's Nobel Peace Prize, and Katherine Johnson's NASA contributions. These brilliant women prove that progress requires continuous struggle. Their stories serve as a blueprint for achieving true equality. Women have changed the world, often without recognition. Now, we must acknowledge their contributions and dismantle remaining barriers.